Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. As always, sitting next to the one and only Wes Hodkiewicz, we're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, final show of the week, but quickly we need to update the fans. Aaron Rodgers has undergone successful surgery on his broken right collarbone. He posted a photo from his hospital bed on his Instagram account, and Mike McCarthy reported that everything went very well with the surgery. No other information at this point as far as his recovery, any kind of a timetable, other than he is out of town. He will not be at the Packers-Saints game on Sunday at Lambeau Field. But good news that that everything with the surgery sounds like a thumbs up.
Yeah, and Rodgers actually posted on his Instagram account overnight going into Friday a photo of him doing his typical hang loose, you know, hand gesture. I think that thing had like over 100,000 likes overnight. So it tells you, I mean, how much he means to people. He thanked fans for their support, their prayers, their thoughts throughout this whole process for him. And there was a really, I thought the biggest thing that was kind of neat about that was the hashtag comeback starts now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about. He said, rise again. He's, you know, on the road to recovery. We don't know when it's going to be. And as one of the people had asked in the insider inbox on Friday, you know, when exactly can they expect me back? If they go 4-4, can he be there? The only thing the Packers have to concentrate on, the more wins they get, the longer that timetable becomes for him, the longer that window is. We'll see exactly how this all plays out, but the only thing they can control right now is victory.
Yeah, and what we do know is that Brett Hundley is making his first NFL start on Sunday, the noon kickoff against the Saints at Lambeau Field. And when you look at this game, Wes, the keys to victory on offense for the Packers, I know we've talked about a lot of things throughout the week. I think it starts with protecting the football, and I say that for a number of reasons. Obviously, it's not just, you know, have no turnovers. You have to move the chains. You have to score points. But we saw the impact that turnovers had in the game against Minnesota last week. And when you look at this Saints offense, Drew Brees has thrown two interceptions. He's only been sacked four times. Getting negative plays against the Saints offense, those are hard to come by with Drew Brees and the way he runs that offense. So it means you really have to limit those types of negative plays yourself. And protecting Brett Hundley, protecting the football, I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the parts of this that's like I feel somewhat cheated that we're not going to get Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees because of how their minds work.
Yeah.
They play the game differently, but Drew Brees, I mean, might be the smartest guy in the league in terms of how quickly he can process information, get the ball out, and keep the offense within its rhythm and timing. Now, not to say that Brett Hundley can't do some of those things. This is going to be a good test for him. It's going to be a good opportunity to show exactly what he brings to the equation. But it is going to be a change. And I think that the biggest thing for the Packers this whole week in terms of trying to lay out a path to victory is going to be Mike McCarthy, Alex Van Pelt, Edgar Bennett, and Brett Hundley sitting down and figuring out a game plan that works for him, scripting those first 10 to 15 plays, finding ways to get him comfortable, what he likes, what he doesn't like. Ultimately, that's what you have to do, because with Aaron Rodgers, a lot of that stuff was already it was figured out already.
Yeah.
Now with Brett Hundley, it's trying to understand him and his process and what's going to do the best for him to be able to go out there and have success on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good point. You bring up that relationship over the years between Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, Edgar Bennett, Alex Van Pelt. A lot of the understanding of Rodgers and what he likes and how he likes to do things in this offense, it was all second nature.
Right.
It's not second nature with Brett Hundley. He hasn't done it. He hasn't been in that position. So the planning process and everything, and this is going to be an ongoing evolving process as we go through these next several weeks, because this is just the start of it against the New Orleans Saints. I know you've talked also about the value of a running game with a young quarterback, you know, kind of feeling his way through his first NFL start. The Packers looks like they'll be going with both rookie Aaron Jones and the veteran Ty Montgomery in the backfield here. The Saints are 11th in the league in run defense. It's not going to be easy to run the football on them, but I think the Packers have to stay committed to it to a certain extent for Brett Hundley.
Yeah, credit to the Saints. They're vastly improved on defense in all aspects and avenues. But this is huge for the Packers right now. That run game has to be a focus going into this game, because I think when you go back to that Dallas game, you look at how they were able to have success. Aaron Rodgers, I think, only threw for like 212 yards in that contest, but they were able to grind out yards. They were able to keep second and third downs very manageable, and that opens up the playbook. That really puts a defense in a position now where they have to defend against so many different things. Are the Packers looking at a shot play? Do you just want to pick up the early yards and keep the down and distance moving? Do you try to go for something up the sideline? That's where, specifically when you look at the defense of the Saints, they're going to have to start accounting for more things if you can accomplish that. I've been really impressed by what I've seen so far from Aaron Jones. I think this is a young man that has a lot of talent, and you've seen exactly him going even back to his days at UTEP. He can be a bell cow type back. Not saying that that's what the Packers are going to ask of him, but he's shown he can carry the load. Ty Montgomery, in the times in which he's been healthy, has shown he's had the ability to carry the load. Finding the perfect mesh of those two guys and best utilizing their skill sets is going to be the best friend of Brett Hundley during this stretch.
Yeah, and Jari Evans, the longtime New Orleans Saints offensive lineman who's now playing guard for the Packers, he had an interesting comment this week in talking about the Saints and how, you know, they like to come at you with a lot of exotic looks and exotic blitzes and things like that. The best way to get them out of that is to gash them with a run play when they're not sound in their run fits because they're coming at you with some crazy front, some, right. You know, crazy look. And if you gash them on a play where they're not gap sound against the run and you bust a big run, that's going to force them to stay honest. I think hopefully the Packers can take advantage of something like that.
Also, will not allow those defensive linemen to, you know, pin their ears back and just shoot for Brett Hundley if they have to be thinking in the back of their mind if they check to a run. We got to be ready for that as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. With that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. Shifting gears west to the defensive side of the ball and the keys to victory here against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday afternoon. I said it earlier this week, and I'm going to say it again. I just think it comes down to the Packers tackling well. They didn't tackle well against Minnesota, and it cost them. And when you look at this New Orleans Saints offense, you mentioned the timing and the rhythm with Drew Brees always getting the ball out. It's about getting the ball to his players in space where they can get yards after the catch to always keep the chains moving, potentially bust a big play. If you don't tackle well, I think the Packers really have to be on their P's and Q's with tackling in this game because missed tackles can lead to some huge plays against you.
P's and Q's. I really like that reference. I think we're over 200 episodes now. That might be our first P's and Q's reference, but
All right.
It's timely, and I appreciate it. Just wanted to let you know that.
Okay.
Absolutely 100% right, though, Mike. If you go back, and I even said this earlier in the week, I thought the biggest missed opportunities that the Packers had in that game against the Vikings were missed tackles.
Yep.
And by the way, that doesn't just include downfield, you know, a guy getting open and being able to get on the first time. That goes with sacks, too.
Yeah, getting that quarterback on the ground when you have a chance.
The Packers' last two games, they've had a lot of opportunities at sacks and just have not been able to wrap up the quarterback as well, which I think has played into the fact that they're right now 28th in the league in that category. You have to be able to take care of those opportunities, and especially when you're looking downfield, you know, some of the underneath stuff that the Saints will do. You see all the passing yards, Mike, over 5,000 yards all these years, you know, so dynamic, yada, yada, yada. But a lot of that sometimes happens yards after the catch. It's one of the things that Marcus Colston did so well for so many years there. I think Michael Thomas is starting to pick up on some of that. Just being able to get the ball in receivers' hands in open field and allowing them to make plays. Your secondary, your linebackers have to be up on that. And it's something that I think last week, I think you got to kind of give the Packers a pass a little bit. I know fans don't want to hear that, but when you're dealing with as many undrafted players as they had in there, as many other players not being in quite the position they usually are,
yeah,
that's difficult. But if you get Kevin King back out there, if Devon House is playing in this game, we don't know what's going to happen with Morgan Burnett, but the more you guys you get in their natural positions, I think the more natural it's going to come to be able to get those guys down because the Packers have shown at times this year they can tackle well.
Yeah, the Packers do have four of their cornerbacks listed on the injury report. You mentioned Kevin King. He has cleared the concussion protocol and has been a full participant in practice. But Demaryius Randall, Devon House, and Lenzie Pipkins, who, as far as I know, is still in the concussion protocol, they've all been limited participants in practice, so we don't actually know what lineup the Packers are going to have in the secondary. You mentioned Morgan Burnett. It sounds like he could be in danger of missing his second straight game, and we all know how valuable he is in the secondary from a leadership and just fundamentally sound standpoint on the defense with all the different roles that he plays. So a lot of challenges here, and you've got a future Hall of Fame quarterback coming in. And, you know, when I talked about the negative plays being hard to come by against the Saints, you know, you look at it on the flip side, the Saints defense scored 3 touchdowns last week against the Detroit Lions. You certainly can't let that happen. But it's those, you know, even just one of those plays, if it happens on either side of the ball, can just can be such a huge momentum swing in a game like this, where I think the Packers crowd is going to be fired up. I think Brett Hundley will be fired up. The Packers want to get this off to a great start with Brett Hundley. There's going to be a lot of emotion involved in this game, and one of those big plays can really swing things.
Yeah, and I don't want to put too much pressure on a rookie right now, but I think the linchpin for this defense, particularly in this game, is going to be Kevin King, because he very well could be the guy that's shadowing Thomas. And you also see at times, too, when you have a guy like him that's as big as he is and also tackles pretty well, too, he's really, I think, when you look at those boundary cornerback positions, when the Packers have been solid there, when they've been able to keep those guys out there the entire game, it makes everything else easier.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to Morgan Burnett, because he's incredibly valuable. But the one thing the Packers have conditioned themselves for, with Burnett playing so many different positions, is having other guys who can play those positions as well, whether it be the slot, inside back, or even back at his spot at strong safety.
Yeah.
The boundary cornerback spot is the area where the Packers have had probably the most difficult time filling in for Devon House and Kevin King. You get one or both of those guys back out there, I think it helps everybody. And to be honest with you, Mike, I think those big plays are going to be coming here soon. We've seen some of them, you know, kind of here and there for the Packers defense. You saw the interception return for a touchdown by Demaryius Randall. You had the 2 turnovers in the first half. The Packers defense has shown that they can do that. But I think the more consistent you can be with those 11 guys, the more it's going to enable those type of plays to unfold.
Yeah, an interesting two-headed monster at running back the Packers have to deal with here in Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Not only because of how they run the football, but the way Drew Brees uses them in the passing game. And you know, seems like Brees always has an outlet against a blitz. If there's a free runner coming, if there's a blitz coming at him, he knows exactly where he's going with the ball at that time. And usually it's dumping it off to one of those running backs who then, if he can make one guy miss in the open field, you know, suddenly the chains are moving and it's another first down when you thought you had a great blitz called against the guy.
And you know, we were just talking about Michael a couple minutes ago, Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, 11 years together, 12 years together. That's the same thing that Sean Payton and Drew Brees have going.
Yep.
He knows that system. They know him. They know what works for him. In that experience, you can't replicate those things. As you mentioned, they have 2 really dynamic players in that backfield. I think Mark Ingram is as good as they get when he's right.
Yep.
And Alvin Kamara, you and I have talked about it going back to the draft. This is a very dynamic player, and especially in that offense, an offense where Reggie Bush has thrived, Darren Sproles has thrived.
Yep.
He's positioned right now to be that next guy.
Yeah, those are some good comparisons there. And with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford right here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, getting back to our discussion about the Packers secondary, we mentioned Morgan Burnett in danger of missing his second straight game with a hamstring injury. You hope, if that is the case, then you hope that the bye week does some good for him so the Packers can get him back as soon as possible. But in his absence, the guy wearing the communication helmet, having that speaker and hearing the calls from defensive coordinator Dom Capers, has been fellow safety HaHa Clinton Dix. And it's interesting, you were part of a discussion with some reporters with Clinton Dix in the locker room on Thursday. He's kind of fired up about being able to wear the communication thing. Some guys don't necessarily like it. They're like, okay, yeah, if I have to do it, you know, whatever. But he seems pretty excited about getting that duty added to his list.
Yeah, it was kind of funny listening to him talk about it, that he actually spent extra time doing wind sprints during practice, just trying to go back from the back end to the line of scrimmage and back. If you think about it, that's actually sort of a big role in terms of how you have to play that position from safety. Morgan Burnett, when he was doing it, is mostly at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, kind of so that inside linebacker spot.
That's,
yeah,
you know, 20 extra steps, 40 extra steps a play, and you're playing 60, 70, you know, snaps. So it's something small you have to consider, but he's definitely embraced this role, Mike. He said he looks at it as a commander position. He said that it's difficult at times. Keep in mind, the first time he did it, he was in midstream in Dallas, not easy.
Yeah.
And then the second time he did it, he was in US Bank Stadium, the loudest stadium in the NFL. So he said it was sometimes difficult hearing Dom when he was trying to relay the calls in. That being said, he really relishes that opportunity. So if Burnett's not out there again during this game against the Saints, he's ready to handle it. And as I was kind of writing about one of our stories on Packers.com, I think this process really does sort of illustrate and emulate the evolution and maturation of HaHa Clinton Dix as a player, going back from the first time he played the New Orleans Saints back in 2014 as a rookie. Today, the leadership side of it, being more vocal, he's definitely opened up himself up to that role and understanding what's required of him.
Yeah, and we've talked also about his growth and maturation off the field, something that he's very proud of. He just recently launched a foundation, a charitable foundation. He calls it HaHa's Heroes, right. And just a great cause, raising money for some disadvantaged students, disadvantaged schools, economically challenged schools that can use additional funds to help education in some impoverished areas. And HaHa Clinton Dix is very proud of this. He doesn't necessarily, you know, go out of his way to make a big deal out of it. He's not seeking the spotlight, but he was very recently named the NFLPA's Community MVP Award winner for the week. The Players Union awards one player that award each week throughout the season, and he takes a lot of pride in getting that honor.
Yeah, he does. And you brought up a good point, because he doesn't really love the getting in front of a room and speaking in front of 200 people, but he understands in order to get his message out and in order for people to know his cause, that he has to go out and he has to put his name on these things. The acronym for that, obviously, HOPE, Education, Resources, and Opportunity. The whole benefit is trying to improve and help kids, you know, that might not have all the resources at home, lower income families, to provide them with resources. And it's been a good cause, his event raising $130,000. So all wow. of it for a very good beneficial reason.
Yeah, no question about it. Before we go to a break, though, Wes, let's take care of a little sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment of the week, we'll take a glance around the NFL here in Week 7. And first off, what a Thursday night game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders pulling out a one-point victory on a final play, or I guess the third or fourth final play of the game after all the penalty flags.
Lost count.
But a final play, untimed down touchdown pass, that really in a lot of ways has saved the season for the Oakland Raiders, who would have fallen four games behind the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West had they lost. Now they are only two games back, and the Kansas City Chiefs suddenly went from the only undefeated team in the NFL to a two-loss team in 5 days.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't tell you what you need to know about the NFL, nothing will. But with regards to the NFC, and particularly the NFC North, the Packers and Vikings are tied at 4-2 atop the division. Minnesota is at home against Baltimore, while the Packers will host the Saints. And the Detroit Lions at 3-3 are on a bye. So this is all, all eyes on Lambeau Field and on U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis to see just who's going to be in first place after seven games.
Yeah, and mark this down. Remind me at the end of the season where we're doing our season wrap-up show to come back to this. The Baltimore Ravens will go down as one of the scariest 8-8 football teams in the history of the NFL. I mean, they are speeding 90 miles an hour towards an 8-8 season right now, but they can beat anybody on a given week, and they can lose anybody on a given week. So this
yep.
will not be a cakewalk by any means for the Vikings. I'm really interested to see how exactly the Ravens play in that game. Vikings have been pretty stout at times against the run. They have two pretty good running backs there, but nothing's really settled. So trying to understand that matchup will be interesting to watch. And then certainly when you look at this game with the Green Bay Packers and New Orleans Saints, big implications for both the NFC North and also the NFC South. That's going to be a tight division, that race coming down the wire.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And also in the NFC North, the Chicago Bears will be hosting the Carolina Panthers. I tell you, if the Chicago Bears want to announce themselves with their new quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, as a legitimate contender in the NFC North, if they win this game on Sunday, nobody's going to count them out anymore. With the way they ran the ball 50-plus times, whatever it was, against the Baltimore Ravens to win that game in overtime, and with Trubisky now coming along, this will be his third NFL start. If the Bears get to 3-4 here, I don't care whether the Packers, Vikings win or lose, whatever, the Bears are still going to be in this thing if they can beat Carolina at home.
Yeah, and let's be honest, too, this would be a big feather in the cap for John Fox and that program, trying to just get a staple victory. I mean, obviously, yeah, there's the history there of Fox and the Panthers, but yeah, they really need a marquee victory. And I think the Carolina Panthers, for as inconsistent as they've been at times, we all know what they're capable of, both offensively with Cam Newton and defensively, which has always been a strength for them. So if the Bears could actually go and pick up that victory, yes, it also keeps them within arm's reach of the lead of the NFC North, but it also gives them a really big victory to rally behind with Trubisky now at quarterback.
Yeah, a couple other games that people will definitely be keeping an eye on. The Seattle Seahawks, coming off a bye week, will travel cross-country to play the New York Giants, who got their first victory last week in very surprising fashion, beating the Denver Broncos, a game that a lot of people didn't think the Giants would win, especially with all their injuries at wide receiver. Seattle, you never know about them when they go on the road, but they are coming off a bye week as they go cross-country. And then you've got the Super Bowl rematch. Atlanta is at New England. The Atlanta Falcons coming off of a really disappointing loss for them, blowing a 17-0 lead to the Miami Dolphins, and now they have to go to Foxborough and face the team that had the big comeback against them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, not doing so hot against the AFC so far, so see if they can turn their luck against the Patriots.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. But we've got to go, so that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. At Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.